This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. VSiN, the sports betting network, wherever you get your podcasts. Hope you're doing well. Week 7, Samo. Life. You have a daughter, so it makes sense, but things just go by so quickly to sit here. We started, obviously, week 1. To be sitting here week 7, it goes by quickly, bro.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. Already a third of the way through the season here. And who's good? Who's the best?
No great teams. No great teams. You would agree. There is no great teams, but I would say Kansas City's probably the best team in football right now.
It's pretty crazy. It was always Kansas City, right? Just always the Chiefs. You can't doubt them. They get Rashee Rice back this week. That offense has been clicking with Xavier Worthy back in there the last couple weeks. Going to be fun to see how they perform, and keep an eye on that Xavier Worthy reception yards prop as well. Opened as low as 48.5 in some places. It's already been bet out to 56 to 60.
Yeah, Mahomes, your favorite in the MVP market. Since Worthy got back 3 games ago, scoring over 30 points a game, what happens when they're legit wide receiver one and Rice comes back? We'll get to that coming up in a bit. Actually, it's second up on our board. You know how we do it here, Sharp Money? It's quick. It's precise. We're here Sunday night into Monday morning as the numbers come out. They bake. It's now Thursday. Let's get it started. We'll start in London, 451. The Rams, Jacksonville, a little bit of a pupil situation with Cohen and McVay. Rams 3. Samo, this hasn't budged. It's painted 3 everywhere with the Rams laying it in London, and 44.5 up to 45.
Yeah, big story here is going to be what we get from a beat-up Rams team, specifically Puka Nacua, who's not practiced the last 2 days. So are we going to see Puka Nacua make the flight? Are we not? Who is going to be in there? What about Tutu Atwell as well? So a little bit banged-up Rams offensive unit here, specifically at the wide receiver position. Jacksonville been good against the run defensively throughout this year, so this seems like it's setting up in a positive game script for Jacksonville. I'm tempted to just take Jacksonville here, lay the 3, and let this line move to 3.5 once we actually get news that Puka Nacua not going to be in this game. So I like the Jacksonville plus the 3.5 side. I think that it comes off that if we get negative information around the Rams injury report. So Jacksonville plus 3 for me. I think this is probably the last day we see plus 3s. I think once we see who actually flies to London for this Rams team, we're going to go to 2.5 on the Rams.
Yeah, it's a team that's comfortable with London and Jacksonville. I'd have to take the 3. I would say, obviously, no Puka Nacua, so Davante Adams, I'm looking for props, don't see him right now. He's going to get his lion's share of the catches there. But the Rams, you know, it's interesting with the Rams, Samo, because they're 2 plays away from being 6-0. It's just such a fascinating team.
It really is, and I love what they're doing offensively. They're rolling out Stafford quite a bit to be able to kind of cover up some of the warts on the offensive line. The defensive front for the Rams, very good as well. It's going to be an interesting game here. Total sitting at 44.5. I kind of lean toward the under just because I don't fully trust this Jacksonville offense. But it is going to be interesting to see what we get from a receiving prop perspective. I think Jordan Whittington is the guy that I want to look at from the Rams' perspective. I think picks up a lot of the slack if you do end up missing Tutu Atwell and Puka Nacua in this spot.
Of course, we'll get to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati for those of you downloading the program today on a Thursday, kicking off Week 7, which we'll get to here in just a bit. Hey, just officially completely rule me out on these international 6:30 starts because the conversation was about how bad and pathetic the Jets were. That game was gettable against Denver. I'm supposed to think Denver's a good football team with a defense that is historic with sacks, yet the Jets are still in it with net negative 10 passing yards. That's what I would say about those London games. 453, the aforementioned Kansas City Chiefs. They're going to lay a price here, 11.5. It's Vegas. Even when the Chiefs were rolling, Vegas has always just jumped up and done something, even in Kansas City, and this is in Kansas City. 11.5. Pinnacle, to be fair, is 13. Maybe a clear and pure number there with Kansas City, 45.5.
Yeah, hasn't backed off that 13, too. Pinnacle was 13 when we talked about this game on Sunday night. And they're like, nah, we're just going to hang out here. We'll be over the market. You guys can go ahead and you can lay it, or you can take the 13 with the Raiders if you like. I have this game at 12, like 0.2-ish for Kansas City. So there is some value on the Kansas City side to me. I'm a little closer to the Pinnacle line than the 11.5 that's available the majority of the places in the market. I don't know if it's a big enough edge to bet Kansas City here, though. If this ever got to 10, I would be playing Kansas City. But after 10, the advantage of capturing 12, even 11, not key numbers inside the NFL, these are games that I'm not usually in love with playing. Sounds like we're not going to have Brock Bowers another week for this Las Vegas Raiders team. The offensive line's been a mess for the Raiders. I expect Kansas City to be able to stop Genty and be able to put pressure on Geno Smith. But you're dead on. Like, this is a Raiders team that's traditionally – just played the Chiefs tough, no matter who was on the field on either side. If we ever get a Chiefs 10, I'll lay it. If not, this is one of those where I'll keep an eye on that Rice prop. Again, 48.5 was the open. That was an easy overplay. We've now seen places reopen it anywhere from 56.5 to 60.5 on the receiving yards for Rashee Rice. I at that number, I want to watch one. If you can find the 48.5, which was at MGM, it's still anywhere around there, I would go ahead and take the over there. But this should be a Kansas City win, and I'm looking at the second half under, Patrick. If we get a Kansas City lead early, I don't see how this game, like, Kansas City likes to sit on the football in the second half with a lead, and this isn't a Raiders team that I'm worried about being able to put in multiple touchdowns once we get into garbage time.
You know, it's interesting to see two sharp shops, circa 11.5 and penny 13. That, to me, is interesting. Michael, our producer's dad, Steve Cohen's a huge Raiders fan. Not a good year. And Geno's confidence. I mean, he had one pass beyond 10 air yards last week, which is unbelievable. He's gun shy. Mm-hmm. The offensive line is bad. The Chiefs pass rush is probably underrated. And I don't think the Raiders secondary is equipped to now handle what is a very diverse of offense. You bring back Rashee Rice. It's not an official play, but the 11.5 over at Circa and DraftKings is probably what I would do. 455 and laying it, by the way. Miami, your Dolphins at Cleveland. this one's juicy. 2.5. You do have a 3 at penny on Cleveland and a total, which is reminiscent of 36.5.
Yeah, this is now that we're into middle October, Patrick, time to start talking about the weather. And the weather in Cleveland often can play a role in these games. Reports were that we could see 40-mile-per-hour winds in pregame warmups, gusting as high as 40 to 50 miles per hour. Right now, the forecast that I trust the most is saying that we're going to get rain throughout. That's likely about anywhere from a quarter of an inch to a full inch of rain, depending on what part of the storm. And there's going to be wind. Modest winds between 10 and 15 miles per hour during the game with gusts that could be significantly higher. That is bad news for offenses. And we've seen in Cleveland the wind really affect teams that are trying to be able to put points on the board. Miami, we've seen play very poorly when you're sitting in these situations as well. It's why we're seeing this total be bet down to the level that it has been. With the look ahead was 41.5, as you mentioned. We're all the way down at 37.5 now. I bet the Dolphins plus 2.5 when this came out. I still like the Dolphins side just because I don't think that Cleveland should be laying 2.5. However, the weather does make me a little less enthusiastic about it because it takes any advantage they had in the passing game. That's going to downgrade that ability for them. I do like Quinshon Judkins props. I like Achane props. This is going to be a run-heavy game if we do end up with winds that are gusting up to 40 miles an hour. If that's the case, then I think you look at the running backs here from a carries perspective, because I'd be surprised if the quarterbacks do much with their arms.
Yeah. First off, I'd like to – whenever you're not on camera, I'm talking trash about you. So just like Tua, I'd like to officially say that's my mistake. I'm sorry. Good job on the weather. But because of what I just said about the trash talk, I think Miami's a freaking disaster. You beat me head-to-head with Cleveland last week, and I'm going back to Cleveland. Lay the 2.5. Miami might limp into Cleveland. And the weather, we've seen your Dolphins in bad weather in the postseason and cold weather in Kansas City.
Well, cold weather, yes. Like that, it's not cold. It's just going to be just a bad day, not a fun day to be playing football. But it will not be freezing, which I think is at least a positive for Miami. You owe me 2 rounds of golf 7 weeks into the season. You want to put a third on this?
I think the best unit on the field is Cleveland's defense with 3 bad units and 1 very good unit. I'll take Cleveland 2.5. Round of golf. Let's go.
All right, there we go.
I'll mitigate one of them.
At what point are you actually going to come up here and pay off some of these rounds of golf? If I get to like 6 here, you finally come up?
I'm gonna leave in 27 minutes.
Let's
I'll
go.
Be there.
Also, twilight time.
Don't call my bluff. 457, Michael's Patriots at Tennessee. We know the story now. Callahan finally put out the pasture. It's going to be McCoy for the old heads, remember, I believe it was San Diego back in the day. He's now coaching in Tennessee. It's a freaking disaster. Seven, you will find a 7.5 at Pinnacle with New England laying it. It's the revenge spot for Vrabel and 42 on the total.
Fascinating game, Patrick. Just very. Absolutely fascinating. You mentioned revenge spot for Vrabel, so that's a plus for New England. However, this is their third straight road game at Buffalo, at New Orleans, now at Tennessee. That's not easy to do. That's a minus for New England. And then traditionally, when you fire your head coach, you get the bump. Dead cat bounce, the head coach bounce, whatever you want to call it. That's been a very hot trend inside the NFL betting world, that you're going to get a more spirited effort out of the team whose coach was fired. I'm not sure if it's effort or talent that is the problem in Tennessee. So I don't know if that's actually going to help them all that much. Now Calvin Ridley in this game. So Elik Iemanoir is going to be your number one wide receiver for the Titans. That's not great. Tajay Spears looked like he had a little life, but this has been a pretty good run-stop unit for New England. I think New England's a good teaser leg. Light rain, maybe get 10-15 mile-per-hour wind, so not a big weather thing here in Tennessee. I like the Patriots as a teaser leg, and
Me too.
I will probably end up using them in at least some fashion in Survivor as well.
It ended horribly for Vrabel in Tennessee. He takes note. I think the players know that as well. And I'll point to one thing. The loss in Atlanta from the Bills. This is New England's division to win.
Wow.
And if you're
going to win,
they've got a game in hand. If you're going to win a division, you have to beat Tennessee. But I'm with you. 7.5's rich. We'll find a second leg for the 6-point tease down to a point.
You want the Pats to win the East, and I'll take the Bills for a round of golf?
No. Listen, brother. I'm adding content. Do I think? Although I do think the Bills low-key stink. I mean, he's a human being, and he acted human on Monday night, and he is a elixir that covers up a lot of the issues. McDermott's defense has consistently gotten worse. They're soft, and they need to trade for a wide receiver. You would agree.
I am very concerned about this Buffalo team. I've got a lot of Buffalo number one seed in the AFC that I was loving life early.
Oh.
And now I'm not loving life quite as much because I haven't seen four quarters out of them yet. We have not seen a full game from Buffalo. They're 6 weeks into the season and on their bye, and we've yet to see them play a complete football game.
Well, they've beaten the Ravens.
they've
beaten
well
the Jets. They've beaten the Jets, and they've beaten your Dolphins.
Hey.
And they've been outclassed by the Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons.
The Falcons part really worries me. I'm not going to lie. That Falcons game worried me.
Falcons were great in that game, actually. So was Bijan. Let's continue. Next up, 459 New Orleans. This is the team that I think by the time the season ends, we should hang a banner. Like, you were a hella competitive team. You were fun to watch. Maybe Kellen Moore has got something and you still stink. New Orleans is at Chicago. It is DraftKings is 4.5 on Chicago and Pinnacle's 5.5.
Yeah, number a little bit all over the place, kind of sitting in that dead zone between 4 and 6. So you can get a decent price depending on which side you would like. Like you said, you can lay the 4.5 or catch the 5.5 here. Opened at 6.5. We saw consistent New Orleans money come in. They've been just a frisky dog. One possession game after one possession game. Are they winning them? No, they're not. But they are staying in them, and I'm just kind of waiting for them to get over that hump. On the other side, a Chicago team that I thought looked better than prior to the bye for Ben Johnson, and you expected to kind of see that step forward. Luther Burden steps in. He played a little bit more, was involved in the offense. Saw Loveland, the rookie tight end, a little more involved in the offense as well. All that being said, I think the money's right here. It's New Orleans or pass for me. I want the points with a frisky team on the road. Another game where we're expecting some weather, nothing too crazy here, but it looks like we're going to have rain for the majority of the first half and then winds that could gust up to 30 miles per hour. So we'll see what the forecast is on Sunday, but another game where you got to keep an eye on because the weather will affect it. I think that actually is a benefit to New Orleans despite them being a dome team. I think that their offense is more built to handle weather games than the Chicago offense is, so we'll have to keep an eye on that as we get closer.
Yeah, I've got it a light 6, so I agree with you. I think the number's pretty tight. Open 6, down to 5.5. What I would say with Williams, you have to give him credit. It's against Vegas and then the Commanders. He did lead game-winning drives. They're erratic, yes. But game-winning drives in two straight games. Ben Johnson, I'll ask you a simple question. Does the Chicago Bears team feel different with Johnson as opposed to Eberflus the momentum is obviously
bubbling. 100%. I mean, and you can just look at the scripted drives. I realize you were talking about the end of game drives, but their scripted possessions have been pretty crisp. This is a Bears team that can do well right out of the gate. And then the question is, once you settle into the game, can Caleb Williams make plays consistently, get through his reads consistently? But even if you watch the All-22s and you compare Caleb from last year to this year, you're seeing the development. You're seeing him be able to read a defense better and go through those progressions and not just wheel out of the pocket. You can see the small improvements in Caleb Williams, and that's credited to Ben Johnson. He's the one who's working with him on those specific pieces of the offense. So I do think this is a Bears team that's on the upswing. I still think they're pretty middling. Like I'm not interested in saying that they're one of those teams that could make a run once we get into the playoffs. But I do think that this is a better version of the Bears than what we've seen in previous years.
Williams running well, had a nice touchdown pass to Odunze taken off the board because of a penalty. They are in the tier. I really enjoy watching you play football, but I don't trust you yet.
That's
the Chicago Bears. 461, I don't enjoy watching the Philadelphia Eagles play football, and I don't think they like playing football. Ayo, they're at Minnesota. It's almost like you would say Minnesota's in the tier. Tremendous team. Wish you had a quarterback. And they are 1.5, 2.5 all over again. Philadelphia laying it on the road, 44 on the total.
If I told you there was a fight in an NFL locker room, wouldn't your immediate answer be like, oh, it was the Eagles?
They're laying $2.
Like, it's no way it's not the Eagles just because of what we've seen. The Dolphins, I guess, are creeping in the conversation as well.
Brown might get traded.
Wonderful comments. Yeah, I don't hate the idea of moving on for Brown, but we'll – look, this is funny because I'm about to back the Eagles here, but I don't love the vibes in Philadelphia. It feels a lot like it did 2 years ago when we saw them start out 10-1, fall apart down the stretch. However – you look at what we're going to get from the quarterback position in Minnesota. If you listen to Kevin O'Connell, his press conference, he comes out and he says, well, you know, Carson Wentz has a shoulder injury on his throwing shoulder. We're not sure if he's going to be able to go. J.J. McCarthy went and got a second opinion. They believe his ankle injury is going to be 4 to 6 weeks. We're at week 4. We're not sure if he's going to be able to go. And then the OC takes the podium and says, yeah, Max Brosner, he's ready to go, man. He's ready to rip it as our emergency quarterback or backup quarterback or starter. Whatever it is, he'll be prepared. He'll be ready to go. I'll lay the Eagles 1.5. It's just that simple at the quarterback position. If it is Brosner, there's no chance that we are sitting at 1.5 when we get to game day. If it is a hurt Wentz, I don't mind having the Eagles laying the 1.5 here. I think this line's going to move once we get more injury news on the quarterback position, and I think it's a cheap spot for the Eagles, who the market is very, very down on. I realize the Vikings are off a bye. Eagles are off a Thursday night game, so that is a little mitigated because you do have the extra time to prepare for Philadelphia as well.
No golf on the line, but I will take the 2.5 with Minnesota. I think what we saw in New York was real. The offensive line has issues. Flores off a bye. The secondary of, again, quarterback issues, but the secondary of Philly is not very good right now. Jefferson and Addison will be open. I'll take the 2.5. I mean, I don't love it. 463, Carolina. If I said, quick, Carolina's 3-3, you'd say, quick. No, they're not. That doesn't make any sense.
How?
They're at the Jets. Now, for new bettors, seasoned bettors would be like, oh, I love this opportunity to buy as low as you can possibly buy on a team and the Jets at home. However, it's almost like the Tennessee conversation. The Carolina Panthers open dogs. They're now a point and a half favorite, 42.5 on the total.
Yeah, bet this one on Sunday night when we were on the show. Got Carolina plus 2.5. Yep. We've moved 4.5 points in some places. So slight favoritism now toward the Jets side, or toward the Carolina Panthers side. I agree with the move, obviously. I think that this is one of those situations where it's not a huge move, just because you are going through 1 and going through 0. Those aren't key numbers inside the NFL betting circles. You're going to see, you know, 2 has become a little bit more key. But if when you're sub that 2 number, you're not seeing a big edge toward missing the 1 on either side of it. I would still bet the Panthers minus the 1.5. I don't believe in the Rico Dowdle thing, but at the same time, they're able to move the football. They've been able to do it the last 2 weeks, and this defense that I thought would be much maligned this year, they're stopping the run better. They're starting to get pieces back. I lean toward the under here, and I like Carolina on the side.
Yeah, Mike, the one thing Carolina does do, you mentioned they're starting to stop the run, but they don't allow quarterbacks to run. And I think if Fields is going to play, the only way he has a chance is if he gets loose with his legs. The fact that they're not playing Tyrod Taylor here, that would be a completely different handicap. I like Carolina. The reason we do sharp money on Sunday nights into Monday morning and then Thursday is because we both like Carolina catching. I'd lay the point with Carolina here. 465. The Colts are at the Chargers. Very interesting game. Two teams in the AFC that feel like they're in contention, obviously. One loss for Indianapolis. Maybe a soft schedule. Point and a half to the Chargers. 48 and a half on the total.
This is your teaser partner in my mind. I'll take the Colts up to 7.5 here and play them on a teaser line with the Patriots taking them down to 1.5. I think this is a Colts team where I consistently believe in their offense. They're going to move the football on pretty much any defense and have success because of how clean that they can play. You've got a situation where you've got Tyler Warren as a legitimate threat on the offensive side. You've got weapons on the outside and Pittman and Downs that can stretch the field when needed. You've got Jonathan Taylor at running back and a very good offensive line. They're going to move the football on the Chargers here. I don't trust this Indy defense. If you've been watching the show, I think I've gone over on Indy 4 straight weeks. We've cashed 3 of the 4, and the other one probably should have cashed but did not because A.D. Mitchell dropped the ball at the goal line. If this goes to 48, I'll take the over here. If not, I'll just tease up the Colts and go in that direction. You still got a really banged up offensive line on the Chargers side as they're missing Joe Alt and Joe Alt, who's supposed to be back in a couple weeks now, but you're also missing 2 or 3 interior offensive line pieces as well. Quentin Johnson expected to play for the Chargers. We'll see if he ends up being a go. But this is a Colts team that should be able to move the football on a zone defense from the Chargers that is just not going to be as effective against the run as I think they would like. So I like the Colts on teaser legs here to +7.5.
Yeah, the Colts score well over 30 a game. This is sometimes a number jumps out. Indy and Chargers, 48 over jumped out to me. When you look at Arizona with Brissett, a professional quarterback in the pocket a la Herbert, but Herbert has the dual threat, and they scored 27. I think you're going to be looking at a second half shootout here. I'll go over the 48 with the Chargers and Colts. Next up, 467, the Giants. Some vibes, your word there, at Denver. Again, we have to be careful with Denver. All the conversation was about the Jets, and Denver was horrific in that game offensively.
Yeah, Denver.
Go ahead.
Denver looked awful offensively, and it's again, Denver looked awful. Bo Nix doesn't look like a NFL quarterback in spots so far this season, and that was another example where should have been able to take advantage of the Jets' defense. They had been atrocious heading into that game and just couldn't do it. They were down at one point, what was it, 11-10 in that game? Like, it's awful, awful play by Denver on the offensive side. Now they have to travel back home from London, and they get a Giants team that is rejuvenated, Patrick.
This is 7.5. Let me just take a... Yeah, 7.5. You can find a 7 if you want to lay it with Denver. Mike, you can find a 7.5 if you want to take it.
I don't really want
to... I'm sorry, Mike. I thought I lost you there for a second. Just let me finish up my thought. One thing about Denver is the sacks. They're through whatever it is, 6 weeks. They're tied with the 2013, I think, Giants at the time for most sacks. So they're getting to the quarterback. But again, I don't really trust the offense. 40.5, I probably would lean under.
Yeah, I would lean under as well. These are two good defensive lines that can get pressure on the quarterback. We saw Bo Nix struggle with that last week against the Jets. And Jackson Dart, when he has faced pressure, he's taken off. We've been talking about Jackson Dart rushing yard over props. He's undefeated in his NFL career on his over in the rushing yard prop. This is the week you don't bet him because this Denver defense is excellent stopping quarterbacks running the football. We saw last week we saw last week Justin Fields go way under his 41.5. We saw Daniel Jones go under against this team. We saw Herbert go under against this team. This is a Broncos team that's going to limit the Jackson Dart runs. And if that's the case, all of a sudden, this is a very different-looking Giants offense, right? Like, I love Scadaboo and Dart, the Bash Brothers, right? We'll go to that nickname for them because they're just going to look for contact and try and hit you. But this isn't the right matchup for them, especially when you look on the outside and you really don't have any threats down the field. It's going to be a Denver team that is going to play 8 in the box and say, okay, bring it, guys. Let's see if you can move us. I'm not sure they can. I agree with you. I think under is the look here.
Yeah. The next one up is 469. The Commanders are at the Cowboys. You know, this is a very fascinating game. It's 1.5 with the Commanders lane. Does McLaurin return? That is going to be a game time decision. Does Lamb and Turpin return. I actually do think the two receivers return for Dallas. Let's first appreciation to Dak. He has been so good. But the Cowboys are 0-3 when they don't score 37 points. That's why, Mike, you see an elevated 55.5 on the total.
Elevated. Elevated is barely even enough respect to how high this total is. I mean, this is ridiculous. The look ahead was 52. We saw 52.5s hit the market. We reopened at 54.5. Now we're up to 55.5 in some places. This is just a total that just kind of keeps on running. We did get a little buyback today, and so there's some 54.5s in the market. It's so hard for me to say play the over on 54.5, so I'm not going to go there. Man, I lean toward Dallas here, especially if I can get the, like, there's 1.5 out there at BetMGM. There's a 2.5 out there at DraftKings as well. I think Dallas can score on Washington. I still think Washington, I'm kind of like living with my past impression of them last year, where I'm like, this isn't actually a good team. And my, before the season started, I talked about how they were a team that won a bunch of one score games against bad teams last year. This just kind of feels like a shootout. It feels like this comes down to the last possession. As I talk through it, I'd almost rather take Dallas money line and just say, you just lean into the variance, because the 2.5 probably not going to matter. The 1.5 probably not going to matter. Just go find the best plus money Dallas money line you can find and have a little action.
Yeah, I think you laid it out well. I think part of this number, first off, Jaden did everything he could. He did have the pick and the fumble late, but he was great in the game against Chicago. That is a short week for Washington. I think a little bit of them being favored in Dallas is perception from last year. It's a literal coin toss this game. I'll take Dallas at home. That's what I would do. 471 green, and probably money line as well. Just forget the 1.5. 471 Green Bay. Your Packers are at the Cardinals. 6.5. Packers laying it. And 44.5 on the total.
This Packers team is kind of tough to rate, aren't they, Patrick?
They very much are.
Like, we saw that dominant effort from a defensive perspective against the Lions. We haven't seen that version of this Packers defense since. You look at that. You watch that game against Cincinnati last week, and they're up 10-0 at half. However, like, they had the ball three times. They moved it straight down the field twice. The third time, there was a fumble. That's the only thing that stopped them from going in and scoring. They could have been up 17. They could have been up 13, whatever it is, but been 3-for-3 with their offensive possessions. You see them, the defense, when Flacco decides to start flinging it all over the place, they start to give up some plays to Chase and Higgins. And honestly, passes that probably only Jamar Chase catches. So you kind of got to give Chase credit. But every time the offense gets on the field, they went right down the field. Never even a thought that they were going to get stopped. They were able to run the football. They gave Jordan Love the ability to throw on second and long so that you could create positive situations for the offense. I liked the way they were calling it. I still believe that this could be the best team in football. Like, I still believe if they can
when everything's going well, I agree. I think they're possibly the best team in football.
And I liked what they did with Matthew Golden last week. We finally saw him first week out of the bye, rookie wide receiver, get utilized more in the offense, utilized more downfield. I thought he was very good in that game as well. This is funny. I'm going to wait to see who the quarterback for Arizona is, and if it's Kyler Murray, I'll lay it.
Exactly.
I won't.
That's the funny part. Murray may be back, but do the Cardinals want him back? Brissett was a professional quarterback in Indy. I will go ahead and pair this with, who did we have up there? Tennessee. I'll go ahead and pair this and bring Green Bay down. They just have to win the game in Arizona. I feel more comfortable with that. 473 Atlanta. Atlanta is mercurial, because it's like, obviously you're not the team that went to Carolina and lost 30-0, but are you the team that, outside of a Drake London going out at the 1-yard line, would have been up 28-7 at the break against the Bills, who everywhere were your favorite to win a Super Bowl coming into the season? They're at San Francisco. San Francisco, we know the injuries, and San Francisco's laying here 2.5 and 47 on the total.
Yeah. This is another one where, like, if you want to play teasers to the plus side, you can get +8.5 with Atlanta. Sure doesn't feel like they get blown out in this game, does it, Patrick? I mean, you're going to get Kittle back. We'll see about Pearsall. He's now questionable. So you're starting to get some pieces back here. Obviously, Kendrick Bourne has been very good for this team. I don't know if it's Brock Purdy or Mac Jones. I think it's probably going to be Purdy. I think you're going to get a better version of the offense. The defense is my problem with this Niners team now, though. I mean, they lost Fred Warner last week. They're missing Bosa. This isn't the vaunted San Francisco defense where you could just get next man up that we saw 2-3 years ago. This
no
is a defense that does not that has depth issues. And now you've lost your two best defensive players. I like the over here. I think San Francisco moves the ball, and I think Atlanta is able to take advantage of that San Francisco defense. Probably going to play some Bijan props as well. I think he has the opportunity to run wild against San Francisco. So I'll take the over in this game, and then I'll probably be looking at Bijan props too.
Yeah, you got to be realistic. Not only are Warner and Bosa their two best players, they're two of the best players of all 32. So you're out there. This would be, scheming-wise, a really good opportunity for Atlanta to flex on offense. It is a big total, but I think deservedly so. And I actually do like Atlanta catching the 2.5, but the over would be where I'd point as well. We got another doubleheader on Monday night. And it starts 4:75 with the Buccaneers banged up at Detroit. Detroit coming off a debilitating loss in Kansas City. It's 5.5 on the side with Detroit laying it and 52.5 on the total.
Fascinating injury reports here, right? Because you've got a Detroit secondary that's just been decimated, right? You're down to your fifth string quarterback, cornerback in some spots. Branch gets suspended after smacking Juju on the head at the end of that game against Kansas City last week. So you have secondary issues for Detroit. You're on wide receiver 6, 7, and 8 for Tampa. So who wins that matchup? Is it these Tampa wide receivers, or is it going to be the Detroit secondary? I tend to think it's going to be the Tampa wide receivers. And this is a very good run defense from Tampa Bay, so they're going to make it hard for Tampa for the Lions to be able to control the pace of this game on the ground. They're not going to be able to keep their defense on the sideline, keep Baker on the sideline. They're going to have to move the football by throwing it if you're going to get to this Tampa Bay team. Total sitting way up there. And so this the look ahead was 53.5. We're sitting at 53, 52.5. There's even a 52 in the market at BetMGM, so under money coming in on the total. I don't have a play in this one, Patrick. I kind of wanted to bet Tampa because I do think that they have success, but at the same time, I could see Detroit just putting points on points on points, and you play the over here. If we ever get a 51, I'm probably on the over, but that's the move I would need to get a bet in the account in this game.
Yeah, let it keep steaming down because I love the over here. First off, that is the 24th scoring defense in Tampa. They're giving up over 25 points a game. Also, it's weird. You know Baker's going to score. The Buccaneers are 5-1. Point differential is plus 14. Compare that to a 2-3 Texans whose point differential is plus 27. So smoke and mirrors, maybe, but Mayfield is a legit MVP. You saw what Kansas City did defensively against this Detroit defense who's still banged up in the secondary. It's going to fly over the total.
If you are in fantasy leagues and you are decimated at the wide receiver position, if you need someone to add, Tez Johnson and Cameron Johnson.
Hey.
The law firm of Johnson & Johnson for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be your two of your top targets there. Kate Otten, keep an eye on him as well. I'll be on his over props. We're starting to see a resurgence. We saw him 2 weeks ago perform well. Last week performs well. Last year when all the receivers got hurt, Otten was the dude. I think Otten has an opportunity to have a big game here as well on Monday night.
Yeah, Otten was the only pass catcher that finished the game last week. They were down to their 6th, 7th, and 8th wide receivers, and that is credit to Baker. Next up, Houston's at Seattle, and this number, you can find a 3, and there's 3.5s as well if you like Houston, and 41 on the total.
Well, we have a better number with Seattle. We talked about that on Sunday. So we got in at 2.5,
yep.
Which now we're at the 3. We'll see if we go through 3. I wouldn't be shocked if 3.5s pop at some point here, as we already are seeing the market move on a couple books to get to that. But they're heavily juiced on the plus 3.5. I think you can get a plus 3.5 at MGM minus 125. I still like Seattle at 3. I think if you can find a flat 3-110, Seattle is the right side still. People somehow forgot how bad this offense is for Houston because they were on bye. The offensive line didn't get any better. And, you know, Ready, Set, Bet last night, Matt Brown and I talking about this game. He's like, well, the week of the bye, you'd think that they can scheme out how to make this offensive line better. They had a whole freaking offseason to scheme out how to make this offensive line better, and they were not able to do so through the first 4 or 5 weeks. This is a Seattle front that should be able to dominate here. I think they put consistent pressure on C.J. Stroud. I think Seattle's the right side. And I like the under here too, Patrick, under 41.5. Seattle's not going to effectively and consistently move the football against Houston. They're going to have to get big plays, which I think they can get from Jackson Smith at Jigba, but that run game is going to struggle a little bit. To me, this is a good spot for the under as well as Seattle. And it's also a weather game here where we're seeing a chance of light rains and light winds as well. So this is another one you got to keep an eye on the weather because that could change since it's a Monday night late game up in Seattle.
Yeah, why we do this on Sunday, we both loved Seattle 2.5. 15% of these games are going to land on 3. It is an official play, so I'll give the 3. I don't want to cheat, but we did give the 2.5 on Sunday. I love Seattle in this spot. Houston's defense is great. The offense, as you succinctly put it, is equally as bad. And I'm a believer in the balance of Seattle this year. Obviously, they made the right decision with Darnold over Geno. And I think the defense may be a little underrated. I agree with you on the under. It looks small at 41, 41 and a half, but I think rightfully so. But I do like Seattle in this game. I think Seattle's better than people think.
I do too. I have Seattle creeping in on the top 5 in the NFL, which seems nuts, but considering where everyone thought they were preseason and even how the season started. They're another team, Patrick. They could have beat San Francisco week 1. They could have beaten, I don't remember who it was, week 4, Tampa Bay week 5. Like they have multiple games that they could have won, and they lost on late possessions, last second plays. They're another one who's better than their record. Prop in this game. Give me Nick Chubb under 38.5 rush yards. Go out and find 38.5. Two reasons here. First off, Seattle very good against the run, and this is a bad offensive line Chubb's going to be running on. Secondly, Woody Marks is going to be the dude in the backfield coming off the bye. I would be surprised if Nick Chubb, if it's not at best a 50-50 split with Nick Chubb with the way that Marks played moving into the bye, and now you get the full bye and you get to come out of it. This is also one where I could see the Texans down by 14 in the second half and just not running the football either. So I think there's a lot of ways that Chubb ends up going under 38.5 rush yards.
It's not going to show up, but the professional win for Seattle 20-12 in Jacksonville last week, Jacksonville coming off one of their biggest wins in franchise history, and Seattle just goes out there, a long trip, and a professional win, to me, that's where I come back and I'm like, okay, I'm starting to really buy this team, giving up just 12 points in Jacksonville. That brings us to tonight. If you're downloading the program on a Thursday, kicking off week 7, again, sharp money. 3-11. Pittsburgh's at Cincinnati. I think we're in the same spot. I'm all in on Cincinnati tonight. Now, the Hendrickson thing does concern me.
Yeah.
But the 5.5, I refuse. I won't bite on Pittsburgh. You can have them. You can have Pittsburgh. I thought what you saw in the second half where Flacco just quickly getting rid of the ball and Chase making plays, I think it continues tonight. I think they stay within that number, may just win the game. Give me Cincy plus 5.5.
Yeah, close your eyes, hold your nose, and click the button. Take the points with the dog here. This is not a fun Bengals team to watch. The defense stinks, but the Flacco piece of it in the second half last week against a better Green Bay defense was awfully fascinating because he's like, you know what? Anytime it's Chase one-on-one, I'm just throwing it to him. I'm just feeding him. Anytime it's Higgins one-on-one, I'm just throwing it to him. I'm just giving him a chance. I think that's what you're going to see from Flacco in this game as well. They're going to let him sling it a little bit more than what we saw in the first half against Green Bay because that is their best chance for success here. It's to get the ball to your best players in Higgins and Chase. Do they win tonight? I don't know. We'll see. Do they cover? I sure think so. We played the 6.5 on Sunday. I would still bet it here at 5.5. Obviously, 6, a semi-key number in the NFL, but it's 100% dog or pass for me here against a Pittsburgh team that is one of the more faulty teams out there. Like, they're not actually good. You go back and you watch their games, and you're just like, these are very, very spot-dependent wins. We talked about them last week with the spot where they were able to beat a Cleveland team that had a rookie quarterback coming back from London on a first true road start when they're off the bye. I mean, it just screamed Pittsburgh, and they cover. Good job by you. But I'm not scared of this offense. I'm not scared of this defense. It took 5 turnovers to beat the Pats. It's not explosive in any way. So I'll take Cincy and the 5.5 tonight.
Yeah, and Tomlin boo-hooing about Joe Flacco. Chill, bro. All right,
that's it for Sharp Flacco.
That's it for Sharp Money. But let's do something here as we say goodbye for a minute. We'll be here on Sunday. What are we looking at here week 7 that we will discuss on Sunday? I'll say this. The storylines for me last week were those primetime games. I want to find out something. I want storylines. Is Buffalo going to react? They didn't at Atlanta. Atlanta showed us something. Chicago and Washington, you take something from it. I think and again, this will be Sunday night. We'll be coming on right after. Atlanta, San Francisco is fascinating to me. And then Tampa Bay, Detroit, Houston, Seattle also on Monday night, fascinating. I'll say Philadelphia. What are you going to get from a team that obviously has turmoil in Minnesota against a good defense?
Yeah, I think that Vikings Eagles game is interesting. I'm gonna go back to the top of the show, Patrick. I want to see this Chiefs offense. I want to see, like, is this a Chiefs team that can just beat people. And this is a Raiders game that a Raiders team that's played them close consistently, a division game. I want to see him win by 30. Is that the version of the Chiefs that we can get? Can we get Mahomes stretching the field with Worthy while Rice is a true number one and Travis Kelce keeps playing old man basketball out there? Like, can we get that version of the Kansas City Chiefs that is scary on the offensive side in a spot where they should be able to do it? Like, if they're the best team in football, if they should be number one, they should be able to beat this Raiders team handily, and that offense should look good. I want to see that from the Kansas City Chiefs because that would make this much more interesting to me.
Yeah, as we said on Sunday, I was inspired by the play calling by Kansas City. Fresh for a team that we've seen a million times. And don't forget, as a rookie 2 years ago, Rice, 79 catches, I believe 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns. He is very much their legit wide receiver one. I agree. Let's see if they can pummel the Raiders. All right, Samo, that's it for Sharp Money. Download it wherever you find your podcasts. Also, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We appreciate everybody downloading, liking, and subscribing. You get the last word, Samo.
You know what? I think it's let's have some fun here with the dogs this weekend. I think the dogs are going to be barking. Good money line dog parlay. Started out with the Bengals tonight. Let's get a little crazy. Go Bengals money line, and then let's have a little bit of fun here and try and find a couple others. Let's go Bengals, Cowboys, and the Bucks.
Hey.
Little
hey, that was disrespectful at the end, fading my Lions.
It's a coin flip game, man. It's going to be a lot of points. That secondary worries me. I think that run defense for the Bucks is going to be a problem.
All right, final word from Samo. I wrote it down for Sunday night. Will the dogs be barking? We'll have the answer then. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.